Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisees saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's an extraordinary scene. One that's meant to give hope to Christians in every age. One that opens up for us what God's plans are, why the incarnation happened, what our mission is as individuals and as Christ's mystical body. Christ came into the world to call sinners. He came to crush our pride. So often we can think sinners are other people, that Christ came to save the really, really bad people out there. No, to the extent that he's called us, he's called us precisely because we need him. That we're sinners, desperate for a Savior, that we need rescuing. If we're self-righteous, if we think we're good on our own, then we cut off the type of relationship God wants to have with us. We begin to look at the Lord as someone who just does the little part that we can't do on our own, rather than the one who's present in everything that we do, loving us with his mercy. He has come to call us precisely as sinners, on an exodus, on a Passover, on a pilgrimage, from our slavery to sin to a slavery to God, from life according to the flesh to life according to the Holy Spirit. And with the same poignancy that Caravaggio tried to paint when he depicted Jesus' finger pointing to Matthew, calling him from his customary ways, so the Lord has each of us in his crosshairs, calling us to that same new life, calling us from sin to grace. The beginning of today's first reading, St. Paul, a great sinner, someone who persecuted the Church of God, as we've been hearing in the letter to the Corinthians this week, but whose life was totally revolutionized by the Lord's own mercy, urged us to live in a manner worthy of the call that we have received, with all humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. He wants us to live in a manner worthy of that summoning of us as sinners to a new life of grace with him. Do you remember what we asked God in today's opening prayer? I was singing it, and so you may have been distracted by the beautiful voice. What did we ask God today in prayer? It's always very interesting how the Church across the centuries has us relate to the saints. Any guesses? What was the punchline of today's prayer? Just a little test to make sure we're just not going through the motions. Sister Pierre's laughing over there. I know she doesn't know. Does anybody want to be her lifeline? Does anybody recall? Excellent, you cheater. Magnificat does have some purposes. To hold firm in following. Because when we look at St. Matthew, what do we see? I mean, we've all dealt with people who in this whole rush of emotion come and they want to live a new life. And they, for us as priests, we see it in a confession. But then what happens? The temptations of the past start to come. And they often revert because the flesh is weak, though the spirit is willing. St. Matthew was different. St. Matthew, even though he had lived a life with so many sins, let's just get into what it meant to be a tax collector. Tax collectors won their office by auction. They would bid for it. They would be given a quota for a location in his Capernaum. He'd have to turn in a quota for certain things. There were different types of taxes that would be collected. But anything he could get beyond that was his to keep. So they were like ancient mafia bosses. They would go on in, often with Roman soldiers, and say, even though you might only owe one core of wheat, no, you owe 20. They were hated by the Jews for conspiring with the Romans. They were hated by the non-Jews for just being absolutely despicable crooks. Why would somebody do that? A lot of the times they wanted power, they wanted money, they wanted what money could buy. There were so many habits that had been formed in Matthew, which were all leading him away from love of God and love of neighbor. And yet Jesus comes in and it shows us something about the incredible power of Jesus. What his presence meant. Came straight in. And then he said something extraordinary to Matthew. He didn't mince words. He didn't engage in small talk. Isn't it a beautiful day, Matt? Levi, you, come follow me. Not only did Matthew leave all his money on the table, but he persevered firm in following the Lord all the way to the end, all the way to martyrdom. Not only is he an incredible sign of conversion, but of the firmness in conversion all the way until the end. And we know the flesh was still weak the night Jesus was betrayed. Matthew, like everybody else, abandoned the Lord. We know that Matthew was among those talking along the roadsides when everybody was trying to become the greatest in the kingdom rather than fight for the towel to wash other people's feet. Matthew's soul didn't go from dark to immaculate overnight, but he persevered, recognizing the Lord was calling him perpetually from his sinfulness to a life of communion. And he lived in a manner worthy of that call. He's interceding for us to live as firmly in that summons to a converted life as he himself did. Our calling has to do very, very much with the Lord's mercy. And over the last 5.5 years, the church has pondered much more deeply the Venerable Bede's commentary on the calling of St. Matthew. It was from that calling that Pope Francis got his motto, Miserando ad Quaeligendo, which he's preached about, many others have taught about. That the Lord, mercifying him, looking on him with mercy, called him. That the vocation and the mercification were coextensive. Matthew was going to be an extraordinary sign of the power of the Lord's mercy. But also he would become an agent. Through receiving the Lord's mercy, he was going to be sent out as a missionary of mercy. And we see how firm Matthew was in that missionary side of his vocation in the same gospel. As soon as he had experienced the unbelievable power of the Lord's love, that the Lord was able to throw behind all Matthew's sinfulness and see the real goodness of him, he called together all his friends, his fellow tax collectors, all the most notorious sinners, basically all the outcasts. If we were doing this today, it would be the prostitutes, it would be the drug dealers, it would be the armed robbers, it would be the murderers, it would be the rapists, it would be the child molesters, it would be all the people that our society, in its Calvinistic sense, doesn't really have room for. Matthew called them all to be able to experience the extraordinary transformational power of the encounter with Jesus. It scandalized the Pharisees, literally in Hebrew, the separated ones, who always tried to cut themselves off from sinners so that they wouldn't catch what they have. Jesus was trying to strengthen us, to make us capable of going into the darkness of other people's lives without losing the light. Not to separate ourselves from sinners, but to separate ourselves from sin, so that we might be able effectively to draw close to sinners with the power of His mercy that effectuates that separation from sin. Today, 65 years ago, a young Jorge Bergoglio went to confession. Went to a priest he didn't really know. A priest who had suffered from cancer. His name was Father Carlos Duarte Barra. In the Church of St. Joseph, in the section of Flores of Buenos Aires. He had gone to the church just to say a few prayers on his way to a picnic, basically, on a holiday, the first day of spring in Argentina. But he was drawn from within to just spontaneously go and ask that priest if he could hear his confession. Father Duarte said he would be happy to. They went into the confessional. And young George came out of the confessional not just with his plans changed for the day, but for the whole rest of his life. He would no longer become a chemist. He knew that the Lord was calling him precisely to be a priest. He had no idea that the Lord was calling him at the same time to be the successor of St. Peter. But he knew he was being called to become the successor of St. Matthew. He's described on many occasions what happened. He hasn't said what sins he confessed. He hasn't said the advice that Father Duarte gave him. But he said when he got there, he recognized something. And he made up a Spanish word to describe it. Primeriar. The Lord beat him to it. That even though he thought spontaneously he was asking for the sacrament, the Lord was already there, waiting for him since before the foundation of the world. He said that experience of the Lord's anticipated love changed his life. And he wanted others to be able to experience it. That's why Pope Francis preaches so much and so powerfully about the healing power of the Lord's mercy and begs the entire world never to cease asking for what God never tires to give. To be firm and persevering in this summons to leave the pit of our sins and walk always as a child of the light. That's what today's feast is all about. Lord desires mercy for us to share it, to be bathed in it, and to help others to come to appreciate it. May we be as firm and as faithful in this our call as Matthew himself was. Because like young Jorge Bergoglio, each of us is called to be a successor of St. Matthew. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.